Watching the older ones with the younger ones, and them just all being together and just helping each other out. They're just, obviously I'm biased, but they're brilliant. So thank you, Evie, for reading our passage this morning. And I'm just going to spend a few moments to just think about that passage, but also the Nativity story as a whole. And the verse I want to focus a little bit on this morning is the verse that says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." As John 1 says, Jesus was with God right at the beginning, right at the start of creation. Jesus was present. But he came into the world. He was born as a baby so that he could bring his light tangibly into the darkness. He came so that through his sacrifice at Easter, through the cross, we are no longer separated from God. We're not separated by that temple curtain, but we can be called children of God, as verse 12 says. And that's what we're going to think a little bit more about this morning. But my first question to you all, and I know that some of our flames and blaze children will hopefully know this, they've got younger siblings, but what do babies need? What do they need? Newborn baby, shout some answers out. What do they need? Go on. Love. Brilliant answer. What do they need? Milk. Absolutely. They need to be fed. Nappies. Lots of nappy changes. Absolutely. What else do they need? Cuddles. Lots of cuddles. Sleep. Yeah, sometimes they don't always agree with that, but they do need sleep. Absolutely. Love. Toys, Kai, brilliant, absolutely. What else do you think they need? Anything else? Oh. Warmth, yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to hazard a guess that that looked a little bit different when Mary gave birth to Jesus as it does today. For example, I was thinking there's been a bit of a craze recently, I say craze or a bit of a thought that white noise machines are the way forward to get your children to sleep. Background noise. I know people who have Spotify playlists of hair dryers and vacuum cleaners noise to get their child to sleep. For Jesus, it's equivalent, sheep baaing, not sure if that's quite the same, but fundamentally, his needs would have been the same as a baby born today. So, like all babies, like when we were babies, Jesus was reliant on others. He was reliant on Mary and Joseph to attend to his needs. The Son of God came into our world as a tiny, fragile baby. And since having Ezra a couple of years ago, I remember those moments in hospital holding this tiny baby thinking, "Oh my goodness, this has happened. He's now our responsibility. We've now got to look after him." And I remember feeling exhausted and quite overwhelmed by that. And so I think, how did Mary feel in that moment? How did Joseph feel? I always think, what was their emotions and feelings? Because they were just two ordinary people, and God chose them to bring up Jesus, to care for him, to teach him. And as often is the case with new babies today, Jesus had some visitors. And the first visitors we may expect to be when we have, there's a new baby in the family, is often close family and friends. But for Jesus, the first visitors we hear about in the Bible were the shepherds. And read about that in Luke 2, that the angels appeared to them the very night Jesus was born. And they immediately went to visit him. And they visited to him while he was still lying in a manger. We read in Matthew 2 about the magi or wise men who visited Jesus. And their story was a little bit different to the shepherds. But the why I want to mention those two is you probably couldn't have got much different people, you know, that from education, from how they're viewed by society. They had very different backgrounds. But both were invited to come and visit Jesus, and Jesus came to save both of them, exactly the same. And so my first point this morning is, regardless of our background, our history, who we are, what qualifications we may or may not have, Jesus came into the world to bring each one of us light. And for my second point, I've got some more questions for you. Really difficult questions. Has anyone ever scraped your knee? Yeah, fallen over. Yeah, it's painful, isn't it? Have you ever had a splinter? Yeah. I quite enjoy getting splinters out of other people, not so much when I'm on myself. Have you ever been on a long journey that you thought would never end? Yeah, maybe a walk. I remember one Christmas going for a walk around the Forest of Dean. We took the wrong turning. I think it doubled the walk. I thought, this is never going to end. I think I got my mum and dad's dog to pull me up the hill. Have you ever enjoyed time with friends? Maybe over a meal, celebrations, yeah, yeah, brilliant. The next two, you don't feel you have to answer out loud, but just think about, have you ever been hurt by a friend? Or had something you've said been taken out of context? Have you ever felt pain? And I am taking, so bear with me, a little bit of artistic license here, because I'm not sure it states anywhere in the Bible that Jesus scraped his knee or got a splinter. Okay, so, but I am thinking it's not impossible to assume that they may have happened. We don't know too much about Jesus' childhood or his young adulthood, but we do know that Jesus was a child and that we know that Jesus learned the carpentry trade. So I think it's, you know, can assume that he may have fallen over running with his friends, or he may have got a splinter or two along the way. Yes. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely sure. Exactly, so I think he probably did get a splinter or two along the way. I agree. So what are some things we do know about Jesus growing up? So we know in Matthew 2 that Mary, Joseph and Jesus had to flee to Egypt for safety from King Herod, that they became refugees in need of a place of protection and safety. We know in Luke 2 that in his later childhood that Jesus went on yearly trips to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover and once stayed behind at the temple without his parents' knowledge. But this is a big but for any of the children listening. It does say at the end of the chapter that he returned to Nazareth with them and he was obedient to them. So we know that he was obedient to his parents. We also read about Mary being present with Jesus in his adulthood, that he was present at the first miracle and she was present at the crucifixion. So though we don't know all the details, we know Jesus grew up with a family and he had a relationship with his parents. And as we look into Jesus's adulthood and his years of ministry, which we know quite a bit more about through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we know that Jesus had a strong group of disciples and friends around him that travelled and journeyed with him. We know that Jesus experienced sadness and grief. He became frustrated at times. We know he had an overflowing abundance of love, compassion, and acceptance, particularly for those who were rejected by society. But through this often led to rejection and personal criticism for himself. We know that the betrayal that led to his arrest and crucifixion was made by one of his closest friends. And we know that Jesus experienced pain through the crucifixion. So why have I done a very, very quick whistle-stop tour of Jesus' life? It was a very, very quick. I have missed a lot of time. Because the question we've been thinking about over this Advent and Christmas time is, what if God was one of us? And he was. God became human. Jesus came to earth as this tiny baby. He was cared for by earthly parents and family. He had a childhood. He had friends. He went to weddings. He experienced pain, rejection, and sorrow. Jesus became man so that he could bring light into this world. And he came so that we know he's not arm's length from us, but he has walked this earth. He personally and deeply understands our pain, our joys, our heartbreak, our celebrations. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And as maybe we do at this time of year, we think back about the last year. We think about how 2025 has been. I don't know how it's been for you personally, if there's been some joyous moments, there's been some sadness, some sorrow, difficult times. But as we think about what 2025 has been like for us personally, for our church, our city, and our world, we do recognise there's been challenging, difficult, and heartbreaking times. But through that, we stand firm in the fact that Jesus' light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And even if we can't see how that is possible, even if at times we can't see the way out, we trust in Jesus that he brings us light, life, and hope in all situations. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if you're here today as a visitor and you haven't experienced what that means for you personally, we'd love to chat to you about it. Come and chat to me, one of the deacons, person sitting next to you in the pew. We'd love to actually share with you what that means to experience Jesus' light for you personally. And we're going to now move into a time of prayer. And how we're going to do that this morning is